Since prayer is perceived as being something natural for man to do, it is assumed that men will call upon God, especially in time of need. For the Christian, prayer is a blessing from God that we all engage in at all times, with our petitions or with our praise and thanksgiving. Adrian Rogers says this: Satan can't keep God from answering our prayers, but he will keep us from asking. But the Christian also needs to be aware of conditions that will make our prayers acceptable to God, and as well avoid those things that will hinder our prayers from being answered by God. But before we look at what can hinder our prayers, let's emphasize some things again that are important for us to keep in mind. Prayer is for the Christian, not for the sinner. It is a promised blessing to those who turn to God in sincerity. These prayers are offered in the name of Jesus as our mediator. We cannot approach God on our own merit, but through the merit of Jesus. It is not the purpose of prayer to impose our will upon God, but to take our request according to the will, to make our request according to the will of God. So what are some hindrances to avoid? We need to be serious and watchful in our life as a Christian, but in particular in our prayers before the throne. 1 Peter 4:7 says, "Be alert and of sober mind." What does it mean to be of sober mind? I can't hear you. What? It is a good question. If you're in the Timothy class, we address this very heavily. It means serious, for one. There are several different meanings, but one of them is serious. So the Christian life is a very serious business and must not be taken lightly or flippantly. The reason for our being watchful is emphasized later in Peter's letter in 1 Peter 5:8, when he says, "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." If we are careless about our obligations or blessings, we are the losers. Another hindrance to avoid is not asking God. Maybe we don't really believe God can answer our prayers. James 1:6 says, "When you ask, you must believe and not doubt." Then James 4:2 says, "You do not have because you do not ask." This hindrance may be from neglect or lack of faith that God will hear his children. We certainly cannot know if God will grant our petition unless we ask him. What a privilege it is to communicate with our Maker, and what a blessing to have him hear and answer our petition that we feel so strongly about. If you have a question or comment, just holler it out, but I will be stopping every so often for discussion. So, the third hindrance to avoid is to ask amiss. James, again, and this time in chapter 4, verse 3, "You do not receive because you ask with wrong motives." We should have the right motive for asking things of God. We should ask ourselves, "Do I want this so I can live in ease and pleasure?" Acceptable prayer is when our will is in harmony with God's will, and the answer will bring glory to the name of God. We need to study diligently so that we can know the will of God and abide in it and abide by it and ask accordingly. The fourth hindrance: when I regard sin in my life or act the hypocrite. Psalm 66:18, "If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." So what does it mean to cherish sin in my heart? And that is a question.
Love what you're doing.
Love what you're doing? I'm sorry?
In sin.
Not to love what you're doing in sin. Is that what you said?
To cherish sin.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. Cherish means love. So if you cherish sin, you're loving sin.
You like it that you're in that condition.
Right. You're satisfied. Contempt. Contempt. Content.
Content.
Very good. It deals with wanting to hold on to sin and not give it up. As long as I love sin, walk in sin, continue in the way of sin, why would I pray to God? The willingness to die to sin, it's in Romans 6, 1 and 2, is a very basic concept of what it means to be a Christian. The strongest condemnations that Jesus expressed during his public ministry were against hypocrisy. Much stress is laid upon God's people being sincere. An outward shell of prayer has little value, and that many unanswered prayers should make this obvious. Prayer is more than words or formality in bowing before God or just telling God what we want or need. It must come from the heart, soul, or the inner person. John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. Sincerity is appreciated by both God and men. God will judge the prayers of hypocrites. If we are sincere in prayer, we will be intense, fervent, not half-hearted or indifferent. James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The fifth hindrance to avoid, if I know my brother has something against me and I do not try to make it right. Matthew 5:23-24 talks about if you're going to make an offering at the altar and you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, you leave that gift and you go make amends and then you come back. 1 Timothy 2:8 talks about, I want the men to pray holy hands without anger or disputing. And then 1 Peter 3:7 is that one about husbands, be considerate with your wives so that nothing will hinder your prayers. The instructions are clear. Go first and make things right with your brother. Then come and offer your worship to God. Prayer is one of the activities of our worship to God. So the principle stated here would seem to apply to prayer. And the final hindrance to avoid, praying to be seen and heard and praised by men. Matthew 6, scripture is actually 5-8, but verse 5 says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing at the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. James again, James 4, verse 3, we read verse 2 earlier, talking about you don't have because you don't ask. Verse 3 says, when you do ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. So we have to have the right motives to get our prayers answered. Our prayers are to be addressed to God and not to men. Prayer is not to be done so that men may praise us for the beautiful words and etc. Our prayer is to God and expressed in simple and sincere words that show we are not putting on a show for men. And kindly, as a further background, I refer you to class 4 when we talked about for whom is prayer a privilege and for what should we pray, and then class 5, do we need to be taught how to pray. So is it important? It is important for the Christian to be sincere, grow out of selfishness, and be concerned for others, deal with sin in his life properly and not to harbor a grudge against anyone, always being willing to forgive any wrong done to him, and work at keeping his family relations the very best that he can to the honor and glory of God. It is this kind of person that is granted audience with the King of the universe through his beloved Son, Jesus the Christ. James 4, verse 8, wash your hands and purify your hearts. And that's kind of the essence of that. Any questions on that little section, hindrances to our prayers? Okay.
I always thought of Christians as being sinners that were saved. And you said earlier that prayer is for the Christian, not for the sinner. I kind of feel like we're all sinners. We're just saved ones.
Okay. That's why I refer you back to some of the other couple of classes. Because we broke that down and used Cornelius as an example. Where Cornelius was a sinner, he was not a saved sinner. He was unsaved, but yet God still heard his prayer because he had the right motive and the right intent.
Right.
So there's a difference. I understand what you're saying. We all are sinners, and God hears saved sinners, like you say. But the unsaved sinner, unless the Holy Spirit is moving their motives correctly, God will not hear their prayers.
It's not exclusively people who are sinners that aren't saved.
Correct. No, it's not exclusive.
Because that would also imply that anyone who was saved and fell away could never really come back because God would never hear their prayer.
Right.
So.
Yeah, we unpacked that quite a bit a couple weeks ago. So that was kind of, in a nutshell, what we talked about. Any other discussion or questions?
We take that same phrase and say, you know, hearing, God hears everything, but it's his response to that prayer is what sometimes people don't understand.
Right.
It's taking literal what it's saying there. So
yeah.
We need to be careful when we explain that to someone, that what is meant by that phrase.
Yeah, I actually think it's more the sincerity of the prayer, whether it's a Christian or not.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like you're saying.
It is, yeah.
Because really, we can, even as Christians, God may not hear us if we're not sincere. We're asking for wrong motives. He may hear, but yet.
Well, he doesn't respond, yeah. Yeah, we go. This actually is the next section here, when our prayers are not answered. So, but good points, though, Wayne. I appreciate it. Teresa, you're kind of quiet. Are you okay? Okay. Okay. It gets me worried when some of my key commenters don't comment. So.
Sometimes you got to be quiet.
Look. There you go. You're right. Any other comments or questions about hindrances? So why aren't my prayers answered? Have you ever prayed earnestly for something over and over and saw no results? Has this caused you to doubt the validity of prayer or the promises that God makes? To be honest, some yeses, some noes. Anybody like to comment why you answered yes or no?
Just means he didn't think that my prayer was, what I was asking was right.
Okay.
Go back and
reevaluate. Yeah, we're going to talk about that here in just a minute.
A lot of times I look back and say, am I glad the Lord didn't answer me?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
That's what I was gonna. And then we're human, and so the logic of human nature is when we deal with each other humanly, there's usually some reciprocation about what we said to our wife, to a friend, to a fellow worker, as to we expect that same response from God.
Mm-hmm.
I think, to me, a little self-doubt comes into play just because of human nature.
Yeah.
That I lose my faith, but I have to talk myself through a lot of this to say, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You're going down the wrong trail.
Right.
Got to come back here. So I think self-doubt about what the answer is or whether it's coming or not all typically arises with me, but to talk myself back to dependence on God, trust in Him, faith in what He knows what's best for me.
Right.
To get my mind back to that.
Right. Right here, and then to Tiffany. Right. And we're going to unpack that in just a minute. Tiffany?
I've studied a little bit about this here recently because a couple weeks ago I was put in a difficult situation and was praying for the Holy Spirit to just, for the Holy Spirit to touch me so that I knew the right words to say. And I sat in a situation where I could not speak. And I was just, just completely quiet and silent. And the whole time in my head, I'm thinking, say something, please work through me. I know I'm doing this for your good, please work through me. And so I left with a little bit of that doubt, but then I had to stop myself, just like Doug was saying, and remind myself that I'm so much more a part of this world now about instant gratification, that I had to remind myself that I was expecting, and I read a little bit further, but expecting an instant answer by
yeah.
the way.
Yeah.
Opposed to what my time frame is. And it took me a little while and more study to be on top of myself to say, okay, how could this be better used for his good? to not be answered immediately, and to continue to remind myself that and to stay in that study, because I always want things, whether I want to admit it or not, I want things answered
right now.
I think I'm doing it for him.
Yep. See, this is why I don't give the handouts early. She just admitted she's been reading ahead. So if we pray for something and do not receive it, then how do we understand God's promises without receiving what we pray for? We have to remember, unanswered prayer is our problem, not God's problem. As Adrian Pratt said, God always has an answer. Our problem is that it's not the one we asked for. We have a hard time understanding the passage, and whatever we asked, we receive from Him. That's in 1 John 3:22. This passage is not teaching us that prayer is like a magic wand. Wave it and presto, it happens. All of us know that it just doesn't work that way. The Apostle Paul said that he asked God 3 times for the thorn in his side to be removed, and God didn't do it. God urges us to earnestly pray for things in our lives, but He keeps the privilege of whether to grant them or not in His own power. And since He certainly knows what is best in our situation, we willingly surrender to His will in the matter. That's in Matthew 7:11. It is not a question of God making promises and then not keeping them, but that His promises are conditioned on one or more things, some of which we may never be aware of, which modifies His promises. We need to keep on praying and believing in God and His promises, but all the time realizing that God knows what is best for His children. We have to depend upon God to know what is best in each case. We probably should be careful that God doesn't just give us everything we ask for. And like somebody said a while ago, you have to be careful what you pray for because you may get it. In our limited view of things, we cannot see the big picture. So even if we pray for the wrong thing, God will not give us what is bad for us. In Romans 8:28, all things God works for the good of those who love Him. So God does not promise to do for us what we can and should do for ourselves. He does not promise to protect us from all difficulties, failures, tragedies, and etc. By now we should have learned that problem solving can be a means of growth for us. We should not knowingly put ourselves in harm's way and expect God to deliver us. Prayer is not a substitute for obedience. Prayer is not a substitute for medical help. We need to do what we can. Prayer is not a substitute for work. That's the end of that one. Any questions or comments? I'm trying to read all my scritching, chicken scratch between my type stuff.
Is prayer a substitute?
No. You can eat unhealthy and still pray.
The people really live in a fairly toxic world. And there's just so many things that make people sick nowadays. And I sometimes I wonder, a lot of what we pray for really is for better health or when we're sick.
But we don't do anything about it. What you're saying,
And sometimes I worry that maybe God's trying to show us something, and maybe He's trying to teach a lesson or something like that, so that we don't have to go through all that misery.
Yeah.
It's called free will choice.
Yeah, I understand the free will choice.
Just look at a lot of people that come through this clinic. They've made a lot of choices, and their health is poor, and I've made a lot of choices, and my health has suffered because of it. But it is what it is.
I guess one of my point is that can we do that and then just expect God to fix it for us?
No, not entirely.
Don't pray for good health and then keep eating.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
The Bible says that God sees the beginning and the end. Sometimes what we need to remember is just like a parent to a child, no is still an answer.
Yeah.
Sometimes we want the answer that we want, just like our kids want the answer that they want, but no is still an answer.
It is. And again, we'll talk about that in just a minute. Anything else? So let's get into some of these answers. When we begin to think that God does not hear us when we pray, we should remember that there are at least four ways God answers prayer. And we kind of talked about this briefly back in week three, but we just kind of hit the highlights, but we're going to unpack it today. The first answer is request granted. God may answer yes. It's sort of like the Toyota commercial. You asked for it, so you got it. God often grants the petitions we ask of Him, especially when we put Him first in our lives. To receive a yes answer, we must ask according to His will, and we must be doing His will in our lives. Any questions about yes? We all like the yes answer, most of the time. So naturally we rejoice when God grants our request, but sometimes we may receive the answer, request granted, but not yet. God may answer yes, but wait. He may tell us not now or wait till later. God may grant our request, but in time and according to His purpose, Ecclesiastes. We may think God is saying no when He is really saying yes, but wait. When the answer seems to be wait, we need to have patience. Hebrews 6:10 through 12, the Israelites went through 70 years of captivity, but God had a plan and a purpose not to harm them. We need to keep asking, seeking, and knocking. And we need to remember God's promise. If we hope, and this is Romans 8:24, it should be 25 if you want to make that correction. If we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait patiently. Any questions about waiting?
And I think a lot of times when I don't think we can automatically tell when it's a wait and when it's a no.
Yeah.
And
they can kind of clash at times.
Absolutely. And when, just like with the children of Israel, they wandered for so many years, and you look at what they did in those years, sometimes they were very obedient to God.
Right.
A lot. They were not obedient to God
right.
in those years. So I guess what I'm trying to say is in the trying to decipher when it's wait and when it's no,
mm-hmm.
sometimes I think that's the test of our faith and the test of, how much do I love God? And
right.
How am I going to walk when I feel like I'm not getting what I'm asking for?
What's our reaction to that?
What's my life
yeah,
be?
Yeah.
You know?
Bernard?
Sometimes, like,
Gilda.
Israel was out in the wilderness. They figured, okay, God has taken His time, so we're going to help. So we're going to build this golden calf.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of times we do that amongst ourselves.
Yeah.
We make a decision saying,
yeah.
okay, I'm going to help God in
yeah.
this situation because that is what I want.
Exactly.
We can't do that.
Yep. Jim?
I guess as I'm getting older, I'm having a more difficult time with the misunderstanding because I pray a lot for wisdom. My default is
flesh.
Always no. If I don't get what I want, it's no. Hard to know the difference
yeah.
between wait, it's coming, and no, I'm not going to grant that.
Yeah, it is. Dub?
Well, when we think about trusting in God and total dependence, we go back to the form of a child, that the total dependence on the parent, how that's imperative to their survival. We don't go into that mindset. The dependence on God is the greater of our trust.
Right.
Where we're headed is what's best for us.
Right.
That could be heaven.
Could be what?
Heaven.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I like Todd's talk this morning about baptism is not just for this life after, but for the fullness of this life now.
Mm-hmm.
And God created these things around us in that manner so that we can enjoy to the fullest
yeah.
today.
Yeah.
But our dependence on Him is imperative to our whole walk. It's love, it's dependence, and then it's obedience
yeah.
For Him. And this waiting type thing is that we have to be patient in it and trust that God has the best plan of action laid out for us.
Mm-hmm. And that's where we fall down sometimes. Mm-hmm. Todd?
So I like your point 2B2. We need to keep asking, seeking, and knocking in Luke chapter 11. Because you know, I always tend to read, you know, starting in verse 9. But if you read the little section before that, starting in verse 6, it says, "Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight. You say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. Door's already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need.'" And so I guess Jesus is saying we should be shameless and audacious.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Well, it appears that Roman numeral 1, 2, and 3 all are very apparent in the life of someone like Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he did it about every which way you could do it.
Right.
You know, and still, it's like, well, wait. And yes, all at the same time.
Right, right.
Because it was, you know, he's on the threshold trying to get the promise, and then it unfolds in the way we know.
Right. Right.
That's a great example.
Yeah, it is. Yep. So let's move on. Time will catch us. When God seems to be saying yes, but wait, it is a time for patience and trust in his providence. We need similar trust should it become apparent that God's answer is, number 3, request granted, but not as expected. God has something better for us than what we may be asking for. He has something better for us that we haven't even thought of to ask him. He is one who can do immeasurably more than all we ask or can imagine. God may answer yes, but not as you think. Sometimes God answers in a way differently than we may anticipate. Remember his thoughts and methods are much different than ours. For example, when God for strength and perseverance, asking God for strength and perseverance, he may give us trials to bear, which in turn develops the virtues we prayed for. It's like what I said a while ago, be careful what you pray for, because you may get it. We must not limit God's option. We should be careful and not dictate to God how to answer our prayers. There are forces at work beyond what we can imagine. Plus, we do not always know what to pray for as we ought. By limiting the how, we might limit the result. Do not pray simply that God bless the use of natural means, which is like doctors and medicine and such. If so, we might limit God as to how he might restore them in ways beyond what we are able to imagine. Suppose we simply ask God to restore the sick and leave the methods to him. Any questions on the granted, but maybe a little bit different than what you're asking for?
Is that like a form of attitude?
Definitely. Oh, yeah. Definite. Yes.
I think, too, that God, if he's trying to teach you something in your trial, or whatever it is you're praying for him to either fix or reverse or whatever.
Yeah.
If there's something he wants you to learn, he might allow you to suffer until you've learned that.
That's true.
You know? So, and that will benefit you in a longer term.
Yeah.
Because you learn something from the situation you've got yourself into. You know?
So we want to learn the lesson real quick. That's a good
question. But what about fiction?
To learn the lesson. Stop the discipline.
The prayer may be, God, show me what you want me to get out of this. You know, you put me in this situation,
yeah,
or allowed me to go into this situation.
That's where the wisdom, I think, comes
from. Yeah,
sometimes,
yeah.
If you pray for wisdom, God tells us to pray.
Exactly, yeah.
praying for wisdom might allow you to say, you know, what is best for me, or what is it I need to learn from this?
Yeah.
This I'm going through.
Yeah.
Give me patience. I want it right now.
Yeah. All you got to do is pay for patience, and you'll get it one way or the other. Yeah.
I don't know if I've told this story in here. At Harding, I was a member of Ago Social Club, and we kind of looked out after this group home. There was a fellow in there. He was a young fellow in the mid-20s, and he was severely physically handicapped. He was an intelligent person, and when he could connect his brain to his mouth, it was really neat listening to him.
But, yeah.
He was going through some very difficult times, colostomy bag and a few other challenges, and we had some leadership in our club that was very careful in how we prayed, and we prayed for restoration for him.
Yeah.
And he ended up passing away, and of course, the members of the social club were all like shocked at first, and then we came a couple days later. We came to our next club meeting, found out that just a day or two before he passed away, he had told one of our members, "I think I'm ready to meet God."
Mm-hmm.
Just two or three days before. Mm-hmm. So we kind of rejoiced that God had answered the prayer in His way.
Right.
Because we talked about pray that he gets through this particular challenge he's having right now. How do we pray for this? And it was just exactly that.
Yeah.
We don't want to limit God and his best result.
Right.
And it was very, very neat that one of his last lucid moments, one of the guys in our club was there, and he just very lucidly said, "I think I'm ready to meet God."
Yeah. We pray selfishly to heal somebody when God says, no, it's not, you know.
Yeah.
That's not the answer that I want. So, anyway.
It can be tricky.
It is. So as we pray, our trust in God should allow Him latitude to answer however He deems best. We especially need to trust in God when it becomes apparent that the answer to the prayer is request denied. God may answer no. There may be times when God denies our request. We must trust that God, who knows what is best, would do so only if granting our request might not be for our good. When God seems to say no, we may not fully understand, but we can still fully trust Him, especially in light of the promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13, which says basically, you will not be tempted any more than you can withstand, and there will always be a way out. So God will provide the grace and mercy to do without. So why are prayers not answered? As Adrian Pratt said, because prayer is not all about asking, it's about submitting our wills to the will of God. Bill Hybels, in his book, Too Busy Not to Pray, writes, "If the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. And if the request is right, the timing is right, and you are right, God says go."
Is that slow when you're speaking?
No, I think that's just patience. Any questions or comments about no? Request denied. Yes, ma'am.
There's something been on my mind.
Okay.
We pray a lot and here it says that we should pray for if it glorifies God. A lot of times, and I hesitate to say this, but we pray for people not to pass away. We want them to live. And like you just now said, that's selfishly because mm-hmm. we don't want to lose them.
Right.
But it's the best thing for them if they're going to have a better life. If they're a
Christian, exactly.
And they're moving on
yeah.
to be with God.
Yeah.
That's better. I mean, I know we don't.
I know, yeah. I agree. Yeah. But it's hard as humans to.
And Wayne made me think about that.
Okay.
After Wednesday night in the Bible class, you said something. We were talking about having surgery, and you said that you were against it. And then Jim said that if he hadn't had something done, that he would have died. And so I've been thinking about that. Those two, they put that in my mind.
Okay. Any questions or comments about saying no or receiving a no answer? God's timetable is not the same as ours. He knows better than we do when is the best time for our prayers to be answered. God is eternal and does not measure time as we do. We talked about that later. I've given you two graphs Both of these come from Lifeway Research, which is a Southern Baptist organization. The surveys were done October the 1st, 2014. The first one is, have you ever prayed for? And it lists several things, and you can see the percentages. A couple of things kind of jumped out at me was, you look at the 13%, your favorite team wins. And then the two 7% ones, look at those. Finding a good parking space and not getting a speeding ticket. So. Then the other one is, my prayers are answered. And this is what someone brought up a while ago. If you look at the top three, which is makes up 83%, they admit there is an answer. They may, you know, either, you know, some of them or all of them, or at least they're getting an answer. The 3% that says no, I mean, that didn't say none of them, I'm thinking that's probably a no. They probably received a no and they just didn't know it. You know, they want to hang on to it. Then the 14% that said, I don't know, here again, they probably just wasn't attuned to what the answer was. So, in my opinion, 100% of our prayers are answered. One of those four ways we've already talked about. Anybody have any questions or comments?
I'm surprised that the prayer to hold off on rain till your tree cutting grass.
If you want it to rain, you cut your grass or wash your car. That's what you do. I've given you a song. It's co-written Garth Brooks and Paul Alger. Garth Brooks is the one who actually performs it. We'll just kind of read through it. Is anybody familiar with this song? Has anybody ever heard this song?
Yeah.
Okay. Just the other night at a hometown football game, my wife and I ran into my old high school flame. As I introduced them, the past came back to me. I couldn't help but think of the way things used to be. She was the one that I wanted for all times. Each night I'd spend praying that God would make her mind. If he'd only grant me this wish, I wish back then I'd never asked for anything again. She wasn't quite the angel that I remembered in my dreams. I could tell that time had changed me. In her eyes too, it seemed. We tried to talk about the old days. There wasn't much we could recall. I guess the Lord knows what he's doing after all. As she walked away, I looked at my wife. Then and there, I thanked the good Lord for the gifts in my life. And then the chorus, or in country music, they call it the hook. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs, just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. So, any final comments or questions? Dub?
On this thing of expectation of an answered prayer, our mindset about what God is going to accomplish in our life is probably the strongest part of what we do in answered prayer. That expectation, our mindset, is so important to our attitude, to our faith in Him, to our relationships with others, that attitude, as you mentioned earlier, is probably one of the strength factors of praying with expectation as to whatever that answer is.
Yeah.
We'll align ourselves with Him and with that answer that we so desperately need.
Whatever the answer is, that's what it's going to be. So, yeah, absolutely. Next week, we may have a guest teacher. I can't say too much right now because it hasn't been finalized, so I'm not going to say anything about it. If I teach, we'll talk about the prayers of Jesus, but if the guest is able to teach next week, then be 2 weeks, we'll talk about the prayers of Jesus. Need to ask you a quick survey question. This is our seventh week. For five of the weeks, I've given the handouts out later and had a PowerPoint presentation. For 2 weeks, I've handed out the handouts early and not had a PowerPoint survey. I mean, a PowerPoint presentation. Which do y'all prefer?
Early.
Yes.
Early.
Show of hands. Who likes it early?
I like to follow it.
Yeah. All right. Who likes it later with the PowerPoint? About half and half. About half and half. All right. We'll I may just surprise you. It's easier on me to hand them out early because I don't have to go through and do a PowerPoint. But
doing it both ways, you're pleasing all
the I know it. All right, hold on. We're not through yet. Yeah, we're not through yet. I've given you the last close, like a little closing paragraph. I've converted that into a prayer. So I'm going to read that as a prayer, but you're welcome to follow along or just listen to my words because I have kind of edited it a little bit to fit a prayer. So if y'all will pray with me. Our Father in heaven, teach us about prayer, the need of prayer, and how to understand our responsibilities in view of prayer. Teach us how we ought to pray and for what we ought to pray. May we do so with great humility, realizing who is the creator, who is the creature and who is the creator. May we humbly submit to your will, believing strongly that you absolutely know best. And may we humbly accept the answer, even if we do not know the reason why. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.